welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 24. I know that because you're listening today, you both love tennis, and you want to improve. You want to enjoy your tennis more. Anytime you really have a passion for anything, a sport or an activity, anything in life, it's always more enjoyable. It's easier to enjoy that part of your life more if you're better at it, if you're more competent at whatever the skill is that you enjoy doing. Becoming better at it makes it even more of a pleasure to do. And because you love tennis and you've taken the time to find this podcast and download the file and listen to it, I know that you want to make that investment of time into your game to try and make it that much better. The better you can become, the more enjoyment you'll receive. So that's my goal, is to help you increase your enjoyment of tennis by making you a better player. And every week I'm here to talk about your strategy, your technique, your mental game, or your fitness. Anything having to do with tennis, I'm here to give you a hand. If you have a question about something that I haven't covered yet, always feel free to write me and send me a question, and I'll be happy to help you specifically with your tennis game. The focus topic of the week this week on the Essential Tennis Podcast is serving and volleying. So we're going to get to two different listener questions having to do with the serve and volley. And if we have time, we'll get to one or two other topics as well. But we're going to have most of the show today be about serving and volleying. If you're not comfortable coming to the net directly after your serve or directly after your return right now, it's something that can add another dimension to your game, and it puts a lot of pressure on your opponents. It's an excellent strategy to be good at, and I'm constantly encouraging my students to get to the net as quickly as possible, especially in doubles. Even in singles, it's a good strategy to use once in a while. And I want you guys to become more comfortable at it. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Real quickly, before we get to our content, I want to announce an Essential Tennis contest. We're going to have a photo contest. And to enter, all you have to do is go to the Essential Tennis forums. And in the photo and video section of the forums, post a photo of yourself enjoying the Essential Tennis Podcast. So show us how you like to listen, or where you like to listen to the podcast. Show us exactly your favorite way to enjoy the podcast every week. And the most creative, interesting, or entertaining photo from a listener listening to the podcast will receive a free copy of Mental Tennis by Vic Braden, and also a free set of Wilson Strain, Wilson Reaction, which is a premium synthetic gut. So to participate, simply head on over to the forums at EssentialTennis.com and post a creative photo of yourself listening to the podcast. And again, a free Mental Tennis and Wilson Reaction Strain for the winner of that contest. Entries can be submitted all the way up until September 7th, which is a Sunday. So you guys have almost 2 weeks to put your photo together and get it up on the forums. Good luck, and I hope you win.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus Topic of the Week.
All right, let's get started talking about serve and volley. We're going to break this up into two sections. The first, the serving part, we're going to talk about how to serve effectively in doubles specifically. And I'm going to answer a question having to do with the serve and coming forwards. And then we're going to talk about the actual coming forwards part as well. Got to be comfortable doing both, obviously, the serve part and the actual volley part. And so we're going to break those up a little bit. Let's get to the serve first. We have a question here from Dean, who has written in before. And Dean, thank you very much for taking the time to write in and for the good question. He said, "Hi, Ian. As a doubles player, I would like to serve and volley more frequently. More often than not, what keeps me back is the serve that is lacking. Now, one can focus on improving different aspects of a serve, like power, spin, and placement. Where should I concentrate my efforts if I want to follow my serve to the net more often in doubles?" All right, well, good question, Dean, and we're going to talk about that. First of all, the two main things that you need to focus on, and you mentioned three kind of core aspects of your serve, power, spin, and placement. The first two parts of your serve you need to be good at and you need to be comfortable at is spin and placement. And we're going to talk about how to do those two things, how to become good at them, and why they're important. And more power, more important than power, at least at first. Also, just for a little background, Dean is a 3.0 player. All right, so let's talk about spin first. The type of serve that I recommend players learning right out of the gate is very important, is learning a half and half serve. Is what I kind of refer to it as. It's called a couple different things, but basically it's a serve that has half topspin and half side spin. So it's not a slice serve, which means it's only hit with side spin, which if you're right-handed would mean you're swinging across the right side of the ball and rotating it along a vertical axis, which would cause it to curve from right to left. That's a slice serve. A topspin serve or a kick serve is topspin created by swinging upwards. So you're making the ball rotate along a horizontal axis instead of a vertical axis. And it's rotating from bottom over the top, and that creates a curve in the ball, just like slice, except rather than curving from right to left, the ball is curving downwards into the court. And then if you put enough of that type of spin on the ball, it creates a kick. The ball bounces up higher than it normally would as the rotating ball hits the court with that topspin. What I strongly recommend for every player to learn is half and half, half of each. It has topspin and it has slice. So rather than swinging at the ball from left to right, or if you imagine the back of the ball as being the face of a clock, a slice serve would be swinging from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So you're swinging straight to the side, across the back of the ball, and hitting the right side of the ball from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. A topspin serve would be from 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock, swinging directly up the back of the ball and upwards. A half and half serve would be from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And so there is some slice on the ball. It is rotating to the right. And so that's going to give it some right to left curve, again, assuming you're right-handed. And it also has some topspin because you're also swinging upwards as well past the back of the ball. And so that's going to give the ball some curve downwards. This downward curve is very important because it allows you to have a wider margin for error. It makes it more consistent. And because of that, it allows you to accelerate at the ball and still be confident. You don't have to slow down in order to be consistent. This spin allows you to be confident and accelerate and be aggressive without sacrificing consistency. Of course, you need to learn how to hit it first and get the technique down and then practice it enough that you can do it consistently. But once you've learned the swing of putting this type of spin on the ball, you can hit very aggressively and still make 8 out of 10 serves. This is the type of serve that most professional players use as a second serve. Some top spin and some slice, and they're hitting a lot of spin on the ball to create margin for error. That top spin allows them to aim higher over the net, and the ball then dips after crossing the net down into the box. So it makes it a very high percentage serve. So Dean, if you don't already have a good, consistent, and yet aggressively hit spin serve, I want you to develop one. This is priority number one. In doubles, if you miss your first serve often and your second serve is not very good, you're going to have a hard time serving and volleying, because as soon as you miss that first serve and your opponent over there on the returning side sees you setting up for that second serve, he knows, all right, I've got an opportunity here. This serve coming in at me is not going to be that great. I can move forwards and get closer to the service box, and I'm going to have a good chance of attacking on this serve and pressuring Dean as he comes forwards into the net. If however, you've developed this spin serve, you're going to have the ability to accelerate on both serves and not put so much pressure on yourself as you come into the net. So developing this serve is going to be absolutely essential to your comfort level in serving and volleying in your doubles play. Now, as far as technique goes, we already talked about the direction you should be swinging towards the ball from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock. That's the actual direction or path that your racket should be following as you make your swing. The racket face, the strains as you make contact, should be flat. They should be perpendicular to the ground as you make contact, so that as you accelerate upwards towards the ball, you're not sending it long and too far. You also don't want them to be too closed, or else the ball is not going to make it over the net in the first place. So they should be just about perpendicular at contact, and again, a left to right path and an upward path. Make sure, Dean, that you stay relaxed and accelerate confidently upwards towards the ball whenever trying to accomplish this serve. Whether practice or in competition, you need to stay relaxed and loose, and you need to continue to accelerate. If you slow your swing down, you lose the rotation on the ball, and then you lose the curve on the ball, and you lose your consistency at that point. And then your confidence goes down and everything just falls apart. We need to keep relaxed and continuing to accelerate. Now, if the serve goes long, if you swing upwards at the ball and it goes too far, you didn't hit it too hard or accelerate too much, it just means your racket face was too open and you need to close your face at contact on the next serve, but continue to swing upwards. A good way to close the face is to make sure that you're pronating correctly. That closes the racket face. So make sure you have a continental grip. And if your serve goes long, pronate. Use your shoulder and your forearm to turn from inside to outside. You're going to turn your palm from inside to the outside, and that closes the racket face as you make contact. So that's the spin part. Now let's talk about placement as it has to do with serving and volleying in doubles. First of all, Dean, make sure when you go out and practice, and hopefully you do practice, you go out and practice your serve specifically, make sure you're hitting at specific targets for every single serve. Whether you're just warming up or in the middle of your serve routine or towards the end, make sure every single serve has a purpose and make sure you have a target. You should be practicing three main targets: out wide, at the body, which is basically the right in the middle of the box between the single sideline and the center service line. And also you want to practice down the tee, which is right down the middle of the court, right down the center service line. Now, of those three targets, down the tee is the money target. That's where you're going to want to hit a lot of your serves. When I play doubles, I probably hit a good 75% of my serves down the middle of the court. And the reason for that is it keeps the ball more in front of you and your partner as you're attempting to come forwards into the net and pressure your opponents by getting close to the net. when you go out wide with your serve, it can be a good serve, and it's important to know how to hit out wide. But just realize that when you do angle the ball out wide, two things happen. First of all, as your opponent goes out wide outside of the court to retrieve your serve, you're giving them a good angle to hit down your partner's alley. The farther they move out to the side to get your ball, the more of an opening they have to hit down your partner's alley. And so you open that shot up for them. Now, it's a low percentage shot, but you don't want to give them more opportunity than they have to have. So just be aware of that. If you do go out wide, make sure that you communicate that to your partner first so that he's aware of it and he's able to cover that spot on the court, which is his responsibility. But it's common courtesy to let him know first if you're going to go out wide, because he's going to have to cover that alley a little bit more effectively. Also, when you go out wide, not only does your opponent have more of an opening to hit down the alley, but you give them more of a chance to angle right back at you. The farther they move out wide to retrieve your serve, the more of an angle is available to them to try to hit right back at you. Now, it might be a difficult shot, just as going down the alley is also a difficult shot. But the point is, you're giving them more of an opportunity to try either of those shots, and you're giving them more court to work with. When you go down the tee, you keep the ball in front of you and your partner more, and you force your opponents to create their own angles, and it's easier to cover your side of the court when the ball is hit down the middle. There's a kind of an old cliche in doubles: down the middle solves the riddle. And it's kind of a corny saying, but it's true. Hitting down the middle in general is a great way to set up a point for you and your partner. As your opponents move towards the middle of the court to retrieve your shot, what's available to you on the next shot is out wide, an angle to put the ball away. Not only that, but oftentimes in doubles, hitting down the middle creates confusion and miscommunication. And so it's a good place to go. Not only do you cover the court more, it gives you opportunities for your next shot to put the ball away. And oftentimes it can create some confusion over on the other side of the court. So down the middle is an excellent place to aim in general. However, just make sure that you're practicing all three target areas on your serve. You need to know how to hit all three spots consistently, so that if your opponent has a certain strength or weakness that you need to either avoid or really exploit, you need to be confident in going in any of those three places in order to take advantage of whatever strategy you need to implement. Now, lastly, Dean, let me just say that power, I've saved that for last, and certainly power can be a big weapon and a big help. However, spin and placement come first. You need to master those first before you can be concerned with simply hitting the ball hard. When a professional tennis player goes for a big first serve and they're trying to be aggressive and simply get an easy free point and put the ball away right off the bat on their first serve, most professional players are somewhere around 50 or 60% successful at their first serve. Anything above 60% is extremely good, and the average is somewhere around 50%. A lot of times you'll see below 50% averages, but it probably averages between 50 and 60. Anyway, my point is, if the pros on a good day average 60 or maybe a little above 60% on their first serve, and they certainly have a much better second serve than most of us do. Well, they're pros. They have better second serve than all of us do. But anyway, my point is, if you just try to develop power first, and on a good day you're making half of your powerful first serves, and you don't develop spin and placement, when it comes time to hit that second serve, you're going to be left with something that's unconfident and weak, and something that's going to be easy for your opponents to exploit. And coming forwards into the net, following a weak shot, is just an awfully difficult thing to do. Your volleys have to be a lot better at that point to make up for whatever attacking that your opponents are doing because of your weak serve. So it's extremely important to develop spin and placement first, and then you can always develop power as you go. Dean, hopefully this answers your question, and tried to do my best covering the serve just in general. Get out there and develop that spin serve. It's going to do so much good for you if you learn how to do it and get confident with it. It's going to increase the quality of your doubles play a great deal, as it's going to allow you to come to the net more confidently and more often and more successfully.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
Okay, back to the show. Well, let me tell you, it's been hard to concentrate today while recording the podcast. Today, as I'm recording, it's Monday the 25th, and the U.S. Open started a couple hours ago. It's about 3:45 Eastern time, and right now Nadal is just finishing up his first set against Pau of Germany, who's a qualifier. Just had an extremely exciting first set. Very, very good tennis. And I keep taking, I've been taking frequent breaks while recording here to see the action. So not being quite as efficient as I normally am. But on we move. Now we're going to talk about actually moving to the net in your serve and volley play, and especially in doubles. And I have a question here from Agnes in California. She wrote and said, "When I serve and volley in doubles, I end up hitting balls at my feet as I approach the net, especially on my second serve. Is it best to stay back and hit a ground stroke and wait on the next shot to come in? I have a coach who tells me to come in, don't let the ball bounce, and close into the net, which is ideal, until they lob me." And then she says, in parentheses, "I'm 5 feet tall." All right, well, Agnes, thanks very much for the question. Guys, I love doubles. I love playing doubles, and the serve and volley could be my favorite play in tennis. If not the serve and volley, then just coming to the net in general, I'm pretty sure is my favorite play in tennis. I love the net, and so this is something I really like to talk about. And Agnes, we're going to address your questions here. The quick answer to your question: should you wait to stay back and come in after a shot, after a ground stroke? I would encourage you, no, don't stay back. I would agree with your coach. He's smart to encourage you to come forwards. By continuing to move in, you force the issue with your opponent, and you're putting pressure on them to have to hit that good shot at your feet. If they don't, then you have a huge advantage in the point. If they pop it up whatsoever and you've continued to move in, you have the advantage in the point. And you then have the ability to further pressure them and put the ball away. Whereas if you stay back, you're giving them the opportunity to be the first team at the net. If you stay back one shot, if they're hitting good returns and you stay back, you give the returner the first chance to be at the net before you are, because they've hit their return, you're letting their return bounce, and now you've given them time to get to the net and to take the point from you and your partner. Now, if you're getting a lot of shots at your feet, there's a couple of things we can do to remedy that. First of all, Agnes says she's a 4.5 player, which is very solid. That's a high-level tennis player. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but Dean in our last question was a 3.0 player. So he's just on the road of kind of strengthening his game and getting more confident in different parts in different strategies. And so he's just working on making his serve a little bit higher quality. Agnes here is a 4.5 player. She's a pretty solid player. And Agnes, the things that you need to work on now are pretty high-level shots. Now, if you're playing other 4.5 level players, don't be surprised if you get shots at your feet. These are players that have been around for a while. They have good technique, and they've got solid games. Even if you hit a pretty decent serve, don't be surprised if you get lots of shots at your feet. That's part of the game. When you get up to the level that you are at, expect to have to hit half volleys and low volleys. That's just part of doubles, is being able to have the touch and the control to take a low shot and control it and put it back to your opponents, hopefully low again, and challenge them to hit the same type of shot. Now, I've got two main areas here that are going to help you out if you work on them. First of all, to alleviate this problem a little bit as far as getting shots at your feet, I want you to improve your serve. I want you to work on placing your serve more effectively, first of all. We talked about that with Dean. Everybody's going to have a side that they return from that they're not as comfortable hitting, either a forehand or a backhand. You need to make sure that you're able to hit a high-quality serve to either side, forehand or backhand side. I want you to work on increasing the pace of your serve and the spin that you put on your serve. A podcast ago or two, I can't remember, maybe it was two podcasts ago, number 22, we discussed how to put more power and velocity on your serve. Work on hitting a stronger serve. The better you can place your serve and the more aggressively you can hit your serve, the harder of a time your opponent is going to have returning it, and you're going to get an easier and easier shot on your way into the net. You can also work on increasing the depth of your serve. The deeper in the service box you place your serve, the more difficult it's going to be for your opponents to return. They're going to have to back up farther in order to take it, or they're going to have to move up and take it earlier on the rise, both of which are difficult. So work on hitting the ball deeper. Also, focus on making more first serves. Even if you have a high quality spin serve and you're able to really accelerate on both serves, typically your second serve is just still not going to be quite as strong, and that's perfectly normal. And you say that especially on a second serve, you're getting tough shots at your feet. So work on focusing on making more first serves. Maybe take a little bit of pace off your first serve and add some more spin to make it more consistent and make more first serves. Even if your second serve isn't that much weaker, which I would assume it definitely is weaker since you mentioned it in your email that you're definitely seeing more shots at your feet on your second serve. But even if it's close to the same quality as your first serve, just mentally, your opponents are going to have more confidence to be aggressive on your second serve. They know that it's really a chance. When you see a second serve coming your way, you know you have an opportunity to take a point from the serving team. Don't let them see many second serves. Give them first serves and make sure you put them in play. Now, secondly, I want you to improve your half volley and your low volley. Like I said a minute ago, expect to get low shots. You're playing pretty good players out there, and they're going to have the ability to give you low shots. Just because they're putting balls at your feet doesn't mean that the strategy of coming forwards is not a good strategy. It's a great strategy, and I want you to continue doing it, but you need to be more confident with these half volleys and low volleys. It's a fact of life. In doubles, you're going to have to know how to hit a low volley and a half volley, certainly at higher level play, such as a 4.5 level as yourself. You need to know how to make these consistently and relatively comfortably. Practice keeping them low and also practice keeping them deep. Be able to hit a half volley back past the service line to the returner to keep them pushed back behind the baseline. Also, make sure that you have a nice, short, compact motion when you hit a half volley or a low volley. Your half volleys should be hit very much like a volley, very compact and direct, and you should have an open face so that you don't have to make a big swing to lift it over the net. your open racket face should get the ball over the net for you instead of having to make a big swing. The tough part is having good enough touch to open your face the right amount to where you are getting it back over and you're making the shot, but you don't want to pop it up so much that you're giving your opponents an easy shot. Finally, make sure that you focus on the quality of your contact on your half volleys and your low volleys. The half volley or a low volley is a touch shot, and when you don't hit the middle of your strings consistently, it takes away your feel and your control. And it makes it much more of a difficult shot to make, period, much less make it with any, you know, quality behind it where you're putting it back low or deep to your opponents and being able to continue to move in and pressure them. So, Agnes, there's some ideas on how to improve your serve and how do you improve your half volley and your low volley. Improving those parts of your game together are going to make it much easier for you to serve and volley. You also mentioned your height, say you're 5 feet tall. And you know what? I'm going to save that for another podcast. We're out of time here today. I want to talk about how to serve and volley smartly so that you don't leave yourself susceptible to the lob. And doubles players, especially kind of middle of the road level players, complain a lot about the lob when I suggest to them to serve and volley. And it's not something you should be intimidated by. You need to learn how to play smart and not give them big opportunities to use the lob against you. However, moving in is still the best strategy in doubles in general. There's going to be times where sometimes it's smart to retreat and move back. But by and large, moving in is the way to go in doubles. You want to take away the net from your opponents. Okay, that does it for episode number 24 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. We went a little bit over time today, and it's easy for me to get long-winded when it comes to doubles. And serving and volleying specifically, like I said before, is something I really get excited about. I love the serve and volley game. And Agnes, I'm going to continue answering your question more on the next podcast on Thursday. I want to talk about protecting against the lob and other stuff having to do with doubles as well. So I'm not finished answering your question yet, but Dean and Agnes, thank you for the questions this week. Hopefully those answers are helpful to both of you. Well, let me encourage you guys, go out and, or rather stay in, watch the U.S. Open this week and next week. It's such a great experience to watch professional level tennis. I may be preaching to the choir here since I know that you guys are all tennis enthusiasts since you're listening to my podcast already. And so I'm sure most of you are watching a great deal of the Open. But if you're not, sit down and watch. You can learn a lot from watching the best players in the world. And there's so much good tennis to be seen. Lastly, remember to enter the contest if you would like a free copy of Mental Tennis by Vic Braden. And if you would like a free set of Wilson Reaction Strain, remember to go to the Essential Tennis forums and post a photo of yourself enjoying the Essential Tennis podcast. Most creative photo will win. And that's going to be open until September 7th. So you guys have almost 2 weeks to complete that. Okay, that's all for this week. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast. And it's been a lot of fun. All right, guys, have a great week. Good luck with your tennis, and take care.